back together again, you and I, chatting it up on Tuesday, December 12, 2023, on Connecticut Today. I kicked off the program with my thoughts about a controversial invitation issued by Governor Ned Lamont. New Haven Independent reporter Laura Glesby joined us to talk about a growing controversy surrounding marriage licenses for immigrants in the Elm City. And Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio stopped by with her report on state lawmakers being honored by the Communist Party. So the last time I checked, if a man or a woman is governor of a state, it's a high honor. Now, as far as the continental U.S. is concerned, not counting our territories and protectorates and everything, there are only 50 governors in this country that speak for, what, 340 million, 350 million people, something like that. So it's a pretty high honor. I mean, we get tied up in Congress and the House and the Senate and who's in the White House and who our mayors are. But I think sometimes we tend to forget how important the 50 men and women, the Republicans and Democrats, the 50, how important those people are as governors of the individual state, our federalist or state-based system. And it is because of that that I read something this morning that I had to read twice because I thought it was satire. And sadly, it wasn't. And it's been covered in a few spots. And I want to read this to you just a bit because this, I guess the word I would, I'm not angry at Governor Lamont. I'm not laughing at him. I'm really disappointed at the guy. Now, like I said, I've only met him once. It was years ago, I think in 2006 when he was running against Joe Lieberman, 2004, 2006, whatever. And he ended up winning the primary on his opposition to the war in Iraq, whatever. Joe was eventually reelected. Seemed like a nice enough guy. And I say all the time that he's very good fiscally. And the governor has been recognized by both sides of the aisle in Hartford as somebody who gets it tax-wise. Now, and spending-wise, much to the chagrin, the consternation of the far lefties in this party. We all understand that because there are people in the Democratic leadership in this state, and you know who they are, Gary Winfield, Martin Looney, Bob Duff, Matt Ritter to a point, Josh Shapiro, other people who would tax us even more on top of it two, three, four times. So the governor has a good, so far, I think, good record of telling those people, hey, calm down. Take it easy with the taxation because that ain't good. Now, he's a liberal on social issues, and that's fine. I understand that. That's probably the mix you're going to have to deal with in Connecticut with the change in demographics from the mid to late 90s to early 2000s, where we are now. But I saw this headline today, and it's John Moritz's story. John Moritz in the Hearst, Connecticut media papers, Connecticut Post. And I'll just read you the headline. And this is, like I said, this is just really disappointing. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont extends invitation to Texas mother denied abortion access. Governor Lamont publicly invited a Texas mother to obtain an abortion in Connecticut on Monday after courts in the woman's home state blocked her efforts to end her pregnancy due to a fatal abnormality. The governor's comments weighed in on the legal battle surrounding 31-year-old Kate Cox, mother of two from Dallas, whose request to obtain an abortion, despite a strict ban in Texas, have drawn national scrutiny. Lamont said that Cox's situation could provide, quote, a test case for Connecticut's so-called safe harbor law that he signed last year following the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, I understand his kind of weird, convoluted thinking on that. But really? Really? That's a bad look, Governor Lamont. That is a really, really bad look and disappointing. Now, I'm not arguing this on the basis of a woman wanting an abortion and the current controversy between Ms. Cox and her attorneys and the Texas State Supreme Court and lower courts or whatever. I understand that. And I understand that abortion is not going to be decided by 6 o'clock tonight with you and I talking about it, nor will it be decided probably over the next 10, 20, 30 years. It's been something that's been argued in this country for 100 years and will be argued for 100 years more. That's not my point. My point is, Governor Lamont, last time I checked, we only have one governor, right? We have another governor over there? No, there's only one governor. Now, there's a lieutenant governor, too. I get that. But the governor of Connecticut, as is the governor of Massachusetts or New York or New Jersey or Maryland or Maine, whatever, any of the 48 contiguous states or 50 states of the union, isn't Governor Lamont supposed to represent everybody in the state on most things? Isn't the governor of Connecticut, isn't it incumbent upon him or her, past, present, and future, to weigh their words carefully and understand that they represent a state that's got varied opinions on some contentious issues? Varied opinions for people who have different races, different ethnicities, different religions, different moral codes. So how does the governor with a straight face step into a pretty contentious debate here? And in my mind, and you can disagree with me on this, at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, why is he turning this into a cheap political stunt? Which is exactly what this is. This is pandering for the female vote and the Democratic vote because we have an election year coming up. And again, I've told you through some circular firing squads on the Republican side, you're going to see various themes hammered home by Democrats in the next year. So, you know, Ukraine, Trump, and abortion is going to be one of them. Now, I've got no problem with them hammering abortion. It's a viable issue. But really, the governor publicly extends an invitation for this woman in Texas who is conflicted now. There's a very testy legal fight going on. Hey, come to Connecticut and have your abortion. Really? Really? And the issue was not having the abortion. You see what I'm coming from here? The issue was not. That's an issue that this woman has apparently made the request with her doctor's consultation. She wants to, in some way, preserve her fertility in the future. She and her husband say this. She already has two kids, I think two or three. So it doesn't seem that this woman is, in any way, shape, or form, looking at this with a cavalier attitude. But, I mean, Governor, can you pander anymore? Did you sit there in your office and think, well, how can I pander to the pro-choice crowd? Now, you can be pro-choice or pro-life or anything. Frankly, I don't care. But here it is. Governor Ned Lamont extends an invitation to a Texas mom to come to Connecticut and have your abortion. All right. Oh, my God. Is he serious? Was he talked into this? Or did somebody do that? And the worst thing is, he admits he wants to use it as a test case for the safe harbor law. Really? So you're going to take this woman's situation, which obviously she considers and her doctors do, a physically dire case, and we're going to use this as like the canary in a coal mine here? Come on. Lamont said he was not aware of any existing ties between Cox and Connecticut that might influence her decision. Several other states, including those closer to Texas, have opted to strengthen abortion protection. So even he admits she doesn't have any connection here, and there's other states closer to where she is, where she's probably going to have that pregnancy termination, that abortion. But my God, how disappointing, at least in my mind. What do you think? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And how does this reflect what the governor may think of people in this state who may look at that and say, hey, governor, with all due respect, you speak for the entire state of Connecticut, not just people who are pro-choice, but many of whom who have difficulties with abortion or who may out and out be pro-life. And you, as the chief executive of the state, are going to say, hey, come on down. What is this? The Price is Right? Come on down. So he wants to use this as a test, or he said it could be a test for the safe harbor law in this state. And he makes a stand on this. It's just, I'm sorry, maybe you think I'm nuts. Maybe you think it's none of my business. Maybe it is. But can this be any more ghoulish? Honestly, and it look, you can be pro-choice. You can be pro-life. You can be something in the middle. You can be somebody who's had to have an abortion or several, or somebody who's never had to have one and never would have one for whatever reason. It's a tough decision. I understand that. But you're the chief executive of an entire state. And I would think part of the purvey of your job, and I don't care whether it's Ned Lamont, a Democrat, or somebody who may be elected as a Republican coming up, but boy, I got to tell you, that really... And maybe I'm overthinking this and overreading this. Love to know what you think at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. It really kind of bothers me. Now, I also have thought about something, you know, kind of compared to this. And I wonder how the governor, how Governor Lamont, how Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz, how our Attorney General William Tong, how our legislative leaders would react if somebody in a conservative state invited people from Connecticut to come and do something. I'll have a thought on that coming up first, and I think you'll agree it's a viable comparison. I think it is. All righty, we'll get back to open phones later on in the hour. When we do that, of course, it'll be because the phone number hasn't changed between last hour and this hour. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? We didn't change our service. We didn't jailbreak a phone. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. There is a very involved and fascinating story going on in my hometown, New Haven, the city of Elms, about a city worker who is... If you talk to some people, she's being railroaded. If you talk to other people, she committed an egregious act. We're talking about Trish Clark. She's now on leave because she flagged at least 73 marriages when she was giving out marriage licenses, because there may have been some immigration issues this year. Some of the best coverage of this has been from the New Haven Independent, my buddy Paul Bass's outstanding publication. And the reporter following most of this is joining us right now, right here. Laura Glesby joins us. Hey, Laura, it's Paul here. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing well. I'm happy to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Laura. We appreciate it. So, Trish Clark. So, let's start with the woman at the center of this story, Laura, that you've been covering, Trish Clark. Exactly what is her job with the city of New Haven in City Hall there?
Right. So, Trish Clark was or is the Registrar of Vital Statistics in City Hall. So, she is a person in charge of issuing marriage licenses, birth certificates, death certificates, and keeping track of all of those documents. And she was placed on administrative leave on November 30th, as you said.
Okay, so she's now in the middle of this whole thing, and early on, a lot of people were saying, and I'm sure some of the people you talked to, oh, this was anti-immigrant, this was anti-migrant, but she now is claiming, Laura, and lay this out for us, that she was only acting to flag these marriage applications because of state and federal requirements. Who communicated with her on this, if we even know that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And it seems like potentially this may have all come about from a miscommunication one state official, sending an email issuing guidance to Ms. Clark to report marriages that she felt were suspicious. But the state spokesperson has said that that's actually not the state's policy. So, that may explain, part of why she, made all of these reports to immigration.
So is there any thought here, and I know we have to be careful because the case is still being adjudicated here, Laura, but in your reporting here and talking to these people, is there any feeling that she was in any way being malicious here reporting these people for, frankly, she might have been wondering about their immigration status, their migrant status. Hey, mm-hmm. If you marry somebody, you can stay in the country. Was this malicious or is this just part of her job? What's the sense you're getting here?
Right. That's a good question. So one thing that the city is investigating is whether Ms. Clark's actions violated the sanctuary city ordinance, executive order, mm-hmm. excuse me. So there's an executive order in New Haven saying that city staff aren't allowed to ask people about their immigration status and they're not allowed to report people for their immigration status. So that's one piece of the puzzle, is whether she was, going against that order. And, from the outside, it does seem that way. And then the other piece is the number of marriages that she flagged. So out of 215 marriages involving non-citizen immigrants that came through her office mm-hmm. in the last 3 or so months, she reported 73 of those couples. That's a little over a third. So that number has been, I think, raising some eyebrows, but, the city is investigating, exactly what her motivation was.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Laura. So obviously she seems to be somebody who has experience at this. This doesn't look like her first rodeo. And I know people that have worked in these kinds of offices before. And, Laura, kind of their antenna go up pretty easily when they've looked at these forms that they've seen for 5, 10, 15, 20 years sometimes doing this. So is there any word on your reporting? Did you find out what exactly caused her to raise flags here? Was it a lack of a birth certificate, a lack of an address here? What made her suspicious, if we know that?
There's a lot that we don't know about what made her suspicious. And I think one question that the state's the email from the State Department of Public Health official to her, telling her that she should report marriages that she found to be suspicious. One question that raises is sort of what constitutes a suspicious marriage. Mm-hmm. As immigrant activists at a protest last night pointed out that the the federal government, when they investigate cases of marriage fraud, they go through pretty extensive background checks. They have a pretty involved process. And to my knowledge, the Registrar of Vital Statistics in New Haven is not, trained in that type of skill to identify what constitutes marriage fraud. I don't know how, to what extent she had extensive interactions with the people getting married. So I think there's a lot that we don't know. And I'm curious to hear more about the results of the investigation.
Laura Glesby is the guest. She is covering the curious case of Trish Clark. She's now on leave for flagging over 70 marriages in a 3-month period, saying, hey, I was told to do this by the feds and by the state. Now there's big backlash. I probably Laura, don't want to be Mayor Justin Elliker over the next few days, or because, you know, I can, and all I need to do, Laura, as you probably have, read the comments section of your stories in the Independent, because a very polarizing subject here, and there are people who say, hey, we're a sanctuary city, and there are other people that say, well, you know, we still have to have laws. So Mayor Elliker is in a tough position here, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that he has been pretty outspoken, and he actually issued the latest version of the executive order making New Haven essentially a sanctuary city. So I think that he is very much in the camp of, you know, trying to be welcoming to immigrants and trying to minimize the extent to which City Hall employees are, you know, asking questions about status. I think it's a tough situation for him to oversee, for sure.
Has she retained counsel? Has she said anything, Trish Clark? Does she have a lawyer? Is she worried about getting fired? Is she in a union? What is her deal, Laura?
That is a good question. And my colleague Tom Breen actually spoke with her right as the story was breaking. We haven't heard from her since then.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have emails one email that she wrote in response to the state public health official that provides a little bit of a window into sort of her mindset. I guess I don't want to, you know, read too much into this, but she did say, you know, we have had too many couples to count. This is a quote, requesting marriage licenses that can't fill out the section for their parents' names.
Mm.
And she wrote that her staff or the staff and her department were, you know, potentially uncomfortable with issuing certain marriage licenses. So, you know, that email from her gives us a little bit of insight into, you know, what was on her mind as she was, you know, seeking guidance. But I don't actually know if she's retained counsel.
Interesting story, and I'm sure it'll unfold more in the coming days. Folks, you want to follow this, check out newhavenindependent.org, newhavenindependent.org. It is a very curious story here with a lot of twists and turns. Trish Clark, a clerk now in the Vital Statistics Office at New Haven, now on leave, because she flagged 73 marriages over 3 months, over, you know, 12 weeks, about five or six a week, if you figure it out, for being, I guess, some level of suspicion. There's kind of confusion now as to whether she was told by state or federal officials to do that. Laura Glesby has been following it for the New Haven Independent. Laura, thank you, and you've got the number here, so if anything breaks on this story, feel free to give me a call, and we'll talk about it on the air, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Laura. Appreciate it. Laura Glesby, Glesby. State emails to city, quote, report suspicious immigrant marriages. So you have a woman here, Trish Clark, who works in the Office of Vital Statistics there down in downtown New Haven there in City Hall. And she is claiming that the state told her, hey, if you see some funky, I'm sure they didn't use the word funky, but if you see some marriage certificate applications, flag them. Now, you heard from Laura Glesby there. Interesting. The reason some of these were flagged is either one party or the other couldn't fill out the names of their parents. Or the parent, or something like that. Huh? What? Excuse me. Now, because this immigration thing, my God. So apparently now she is, I guess, on leave. She's being pilloried to and through the city of New Haven. Now, who knows what her intentions were? The mayor's in the middle of this. We have immigrant rights people. I love that. Immigrant rights. Oh, migrant rights. I love it. And all because we have a scenario where apparently to a whomever this woman seems to be, a seasoned employee or her staff, they looked at these marriage applications, these marriage certificate applications, and there's something a little weird here. And again, I don't know what the disposition of this is going to be, folks. I have no idea. But again, this is another case of a choice. Do we be all touchy-feely and welcome to New Haven, or do we follow the law? This is what upsets people. This is what, you're just anti-immigrant. No, but if there is law-breaking, if, nobody's saying there is, but if you have a scenario where there are certain laws that aren't being followed, and then you have civil servants like the mayor of any city saying, well, we're a sanctuary city. We're a welcoming city. Yeah, but okay. Then why do we have laws? Well, that's different. It is? Okay, mayor. And it's about that time of the year again. You know, it's holiday time. When people in our state government, some of them at least, a handful, are honored by the communists, honored by the People's World Amistad Awards in a ceremony organized by the Communist Connecticut People's World Committee. Because, hey, why not? Nothing says getting into the holiday spirit like Kris Kringle, hot chocolate, presents under the tree, and the local communists honoring people. Folks, listen, we just report the news here. Writing about this, our contributor on Tuesdays, this time Megan Portfolio. Check it out, YankeeInstitute.com, the Hartford Portfolio, the General Assembly, and our Secretary of the State, Stephanie Thomas, congratulating those who receive awards from the commies. Megan, I'm disappointed. I guess you and I weren't. We weren't nominated this time around. What happened?
Oh, I know. And it was such a star-studded event. Everyone was dressed to the nines. And we really missed out, Paul.
Oh, man. Now this kind of happens every year. And I guess, Megan, one of the last times this got a lot of buzz was for the news coverage because I guess Richard Blumenthal at the time and other people said, hey, we're sorry. We didn't know that there were communists connected to this. So am I correct to see Mr. Blumenthal's name is not on the list this year?
No, he definitely is not on the list. But on the list was
who's on the list?
New Haven Senator Gary Winfield was on the list, but he wanted to make sure everyone knew that he knew exactly where he was at. Okay. And that there were communists there, and that he was very happy to be there.
Okay. Didn't pull any punches, did he?
I got to give it for the guy. He at least, you know, he says what he means.
Yeah, Pat Dillon, are honored. Pat Dillon, Representative Alphonse Paolillo, Al Paolillo, New Haven, Juan Candelaria, Roland Lamar, New Haven, Tony Walker, yada, yada, yada. So, listen, obviously, Megan, we know that these are far progressive lawmakers. Nothing wrong with honoring those people, except when you're being honored, and maybe Mr. Blumenthal had the good reason and maybe other legislators to stay away this year. People will say, well, you know, they're honored for their legislative work. But I think it's a question, Megan, of who's honoring you. And really, I don't know about you, but even if I was an uber progressive legislator and this group contacted me, I'd say, no, thanks. I don't need this.
Well, the Communist Party USA, or CPUSA, as they go by, I mean, they are known for frequently spreading Chinese communist propaganda. For example, President China has proclaimed that he has eradicated poverty of every citizen in their country. I mean, that's not realistic and that's not true. But CPUSA spreads that. China also says they are on the forefront of addressing climate change. You and I know that's not true. They are ramping up coal production. You know, as we speak, they probably have like 10 mines going up right now. So CPUSA is constantly spreading this Chinese propaganda. And I think it's irresponsible for our lawmakers to
you know, offer citations at this kind of an event.
I mean, can you imagine, Megan, just, and I'm saying this rhetorically because we know what the answer would be, if a group of, say, right-leaning Republican legislators in this state were honored by, I don't know if there's anything left, by the John Birch Society or the American Nazi Party or things like that. I mean, the left, they would be sobbing in the streets with anger on this.
I mean, and I would hold them to the same standards.
Yes.
I mean, that kind of an event for them to go to is not appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And I think it says, I don't know, well, actually, I don't know what this says, Megan, about the perception of what some of our lawmakers think is proper here. And I know if we had some of these people on, undoubtedly, you and I would hear the same thing. Well, we can't get into the weeds, Megan, about the word communist, because, of course, that's just a negative connotation. No, it's not. If you're a communist, to me, you're a communist.
I mean, talk to immigrants from Cuba or China and see what it's really like in these communist countries. That's why they're fleeing here.
And that's what makes me laugh, Megan, and I've seen it in this area, and you probably see it around the Hartford and the central Connecticut area when, you know, you go to these college campuses, and I just laugh because I used to work at one, and I'm occasionally on another one, where you see, you know, modern American kids, upper-income families, and they're walking around with, like, Che Guevara T-shirts on, and they're walking around with, you know, Castro T-shirts, Viva la Revolución, really?
Oh. That's like so 1990. The kids these days are now they're wearing from what's that Palestinian phrase from land to sea?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that. But
and they don't even know what sea they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. But that doesn't mean eradicate Jewish people. No, of course not. No, it's being misconstrued
no.
by the right wing media here. All right, folks. So check this out. It's an interesting read. Maybe some of your legislators are here. Check it out, yankeeinstitute.org. And Megan's piece, General Assembly and the Secretary of the State highlight the Connecticut Communist Awards. All right, comrade portfolio, we will speak to you next week, okay?
All right, comrade. Hopefully next year we get nominated.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't you imagine you and me being there? All right, Megan, thanks.
Will you be my date?
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, only if you wear that certain green fatigue, I'll wear my green fatigues, okay?
All right. You sign me up.
All right, Megan, thanks. We'll talk next week. Megan Portfolio there.